Right, if you've got your Bible with you, then please open it up. Whether you've got a hard copy or it's on your phone, I would encourage you to have it in front of you as I read God's Word to you and hope to expound it, open it up for your heart and for your life. There's our passage in front of you. It's 1 John chapter 1, and I'm going to just read verses 5 to 10 for you. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. So, if we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie. And the truth, we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. So if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us. This is part two of our series, How Do We Know For Sure? We're going to look at 1 John 1, verses 5 to 10, and there's a title for you this morning, Liar, Liar. Liar, Liar. Why that title? Well, look at verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, liar, your pants on fire, your nose is as long as a telephone wire. That was an old ditty that we used to sing and say to each other back in my day. Anybody know that one? You just look at me weird. Anyway, let's bring it up to date, right? Do you remember this old movie? Anybody seen that movie, Liar, Liar, with Jim Carrey, old classic? It was he plays a guy called Fletcher Reed. Who lied? He was a lawyer and he lied and he lied and he lied. And one day, his son makes a wish that his dad would not lie for 24 hours. And very, very funny movie. But 1 John 1, 5 to 10 is not a funny passage. Because there are two lies that people sell themselves all the time. Number one, Christians can lie to themselves that they are not truly saved forever, as we've just sung, when they are. That's the first lie that Christians can sell themselves. The second one is that professing Christians can lie to themselves saying they are truly saved and they're not. And it is John that is going to address both of these issues in this letter, in this passage. Please, Christian, don't lie to yourself. Fake Christian. Don't deceive yourself. Don't lie to yourself. You remember John's purpose for writing this letter? 1 John 5:13, he says, I write these things to you, to the children of God, who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And so this question of how do I know for sure? It's a good question. It's an important question. It's a thoughtful question. It's a question that Christians have to wrestle with all of the time. How do I know for sure? Because we all struggle with a lack of assurance at times, don't we? Don't we? And there are so many reasons why a lack of assurance affects us at times. Let me just run through some of the reasons. Some of the reasons why we struggle with a lack of assurance is because we're discouraged by our own lack of godliness at times, aren't we? We're discouraged because we see that we're sometimes stuck in patterns of sin. We lack assurance sometimes because we think we should be further down the line than we actually are. We want to be more mature, but we're not. We read things like in 1 Peter, we're filled with inexpressible joy and should have a peace that passes all understanding. And you wonder, well, I didn't even feel that. Where's that come from? Maybe I'm not saved. And then so it goes on. We see people just abandoning the faith all over the place. We hear voices like I just showed you on that page that the apostolic Jesus is wrong. Doctrine doesn't matter. Certainty is impossible. And all that comes in and we go, oh man, really? Am I really saved? Do I really know Him? And can I remind us this morning that knowing Jesus is the essence of salvation, isn't it? Saved from hell? Sure, of course. That's part of it. It's not the essence. We're saved from hell to know God. That's the essence. And that's why Jesus Himself said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, this is salvation, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. So last week, what John did was he grounded our assurance of salvation in the real Jesus, in the apostolic Jesus, in the God who became flesh, the eternal Son of God who stepped into our world. He grounded our assurance in the Jesus that the apostles saw and felt and smelt and touched and heard. But this week, John wants to ground our assurance in how we walk with Jesus. Let me take you to the first of my headings. We've got to be very careful, again, of the corruption of the gospel. And we don't misunderstand the gospel. So have a look at verse 7 in our passage. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Now have a look at that carefully. What does it seem to be saying? It seems to be saying that the blood of Jesus only purifies us when we walk in the light. Do you see that? If we walk in the light, then the blood of the Son purifies us. And if that's what you think, that's gospel corruption. We are not purified from sin by walking in the light. Gospel corruption. Have a look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It's also in the passage. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness. Look at that verse. What does it seem to be saying? It seems to be saying that when we're confessing our sin, then we're going to be purified. Then we're going to be forgiven. It's sort of seems to be saying like almost a salvation by confession. That's not what it teaches. Because we are not saved by walking in the light. We're not saved by confessing our sins. That is gospel corruption. And when you get that, that's why verses like this out of context have spawned millions and millions of people going to confessional boxes all around the world, going to confess their sins to a priest they cannot see, hoping for absolution of sins they do not get. Brothers and sisters, we have to guard so carefully the purity of the gospel by the way that we handle the scriptures. Because if we don't have a gospel as the same as the apostles, it's a different gospel. A different gospel is a false gospel. A false gospel is a perverted, distorted gospel. And a false gospel will send you to hell. So, this morning, if you think that the blood of Jesus purifies you only when you're walking in the light and only when you're confessing your sin, John would say to you, liar, liar, your pants on fire. So, 2, the character of God. Look at the character of God in verse 5. This is the message we heard from Him and declare to you, God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. If you had to ask the Apostle John, where does the gospel begin? He would say, the gospel begins not with the love of God. It starts with the holiness of God. Because that's where it begins. And look at the verse carefully in verse 5. Who's the him? This is the message we, that's the apostles, heard from. Who's the him? It's Jesus, right? Isn't that astonishing? John says the very first thing that we heard from Jesus is that the Father is light. You see, only God can reveal who God is. So if Jesus reveals that God is light, the Father is light, then Jesus must be, he must be God. He must be God in human flesh. Now, of course God is love. Of course he is. John will tell us that twice in 1 John chapter 4. But the gospel does not begin with the love of God. The gospel begins with the holiness of God, with his character. The great British preacher, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he put it like this. He said, if we do not start with the holiness of God, we will never understand the gospel. You know why? Because if God is only love, if God is only compassion, it means then that it simply means he could overlook sin. But because God is pure and he's light and he's righteous, in him there is no sinful darkness at all, sin must be dealt with. I've shared this with you before. I have a Muslim friend, and he's my barber. And I always go to the barber when my hair is starting to look a little bit long and fluffy. And every time I go, just sort of a recent development, he says to me, Paul, he says, get into the chair. He says, ask me any question. Ask me any question you want. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That takes my haircut from 15 minutes to 45 minutes every time. It's a real bargain. But the last time I got into his chair, which was a couple of months ago, I asked him this question. I said, my friend, how are your sins forgiven? How are your sins forgiven? And he said something in Arabic, and then he said, oh, well, Allah will weigh my good deeds and my bad deeds, and if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, then I'm going to be okay. And this is what I said to him. I said to him, my friend, then your God cannot be all that good. If he merely forgives your sin without punishing them, then your God isn't that good. When I say things like that to him, sometimes it results in me getting a very bad haircut. So, in my own personal evangelism over the years, people are always, so often this will come up. Oh, why can't God just forgive sin? Why can't he just sort of just let it go? Why all this blood? Why all this sacrifice? Why? Because God is light. God is holy, he's pure, he's righteous. There's no darkness in him. He's not like us. And light cannot pretend that darkness is harmless. You see, the suffering and the death of Jesus on that cross, which we celebrated here at this communion this morning, it only makes sense when the holiness of God is our starting point. So let's get in further into the passage to my third heading, the communion with God. What is communion with God? So look at verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. Let me define, therefore, communion with God. Communion with God, it's fellowship with God. It's friendship with God. It's personal relationship with God. It's the highest blessing that a human being can have. It's the very reason for which we were created, to have a relationship with the holy God of the Bible. Paul puts it like this, and this is so beautiful. Look how Paul puts this. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God has called you into fellowship, into communion, into relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. But here's the one that I love. From Galatians, Paul, he says, when God who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his Son in me. Listen, this is the grace of God. Christian, the grace of God is that the Father has revealed his Son to your heart. That is salvation. The Father reveals his Son to you by the Spirit. So what is communion? Communion defined, it looks like this. It's being a friend of God. Communion with God is God sharing His life with you. It's you sharing your life with Him. It's eternal life. It's to know the Father and the Son. That's communion defined. How about communion denied? Look at verse 6 again. But if we claim to have fellowship, relationship with Him, and yet walk in darkness, we lie. Walking in darkness is an habitual pattern. It is a settled direction of life. In other words, you can say you know God. You can say you walk with God. You can say that God speaks to you and leads you and all that sort of stuff. But if you are walking in a settled pattern of darkness, John says to you, liar, liar. Now, walking in darkness cannot mean that Christians never sin. That's impossible, right? And even John says that in verse 8. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Christians sin. Christians struggle. Christians wrestle with the flesh, with their human flesh. But here's what walking in darkness looks like. It looks like holding on to your sin, refusing to let it go. It's hiding your sin, concealing your sin. It's excusing it. It's justifying it. Walking in darkness is a secrecy, living in secret and refusing confession, refusing repentance. You know what walking in darkness is like? It's like Adam in the garden. Adam hiding in the trees, avoiding God. There is no fellowship with God when you're hiding from Him. Perhaps the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15 will help us here a little bit. Remember the prodigal son? There's the father, and he leaves the father, doesn't he? He goes to the distant land, wild living and everything else, living with the pigs. The father loved him. The father longed for him. The father would welcome him back, but there is no relationship. There's no fellowship between the two. The fellowship stops, the relationship stops as he walks out of the darkness into the light, as he goes back to his father. You see, John is confronting the lie in the early church, and he's confronting the lie in the church today that says it doesn't matter how you live. Sin isn't that serious. You can walk in darkness and still have fellowship with God. John says that's liar, liar. It's self-deception. If you were follow politics, as I do from time to time, you may have seen that. The right, I'm going to say honorable, the Senator Pauline Hanson of One Nation, she started a little campaign a little while ago called Fire the Liar. She's on a campaign, allegedly, our PM supposedly made a whole lot of promises at the election, he's broken them, and she's on a warpath to fire the liar. Verse 6 says, if you have communion, if you say you have communion with God, and you walk in darkness, fire the liar. Fire the liar. Just before I went to South Africa in June to see my mom, I think it was the last Sunday I was preaching here, and after the service, we had a time of people coming forward to pray, and it was a particular man that came forward. He was from out of state, a visitor, and he said to me that he had come under real conviction while preaching, and his conviction there is that he had not kept Jesus at the very center of his life. Everything else was getting more important than his relationship with Jesus. Now, I haven't quoted this particular passage in my sermon, but he said this was the passage in Matthew 7 that was really rattling around his soul. Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Remember Jesus' answer? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. We're so used to asking people, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? But how about this question? Does Jesus know you? Does Jesus know you? Have you opened yourself up to Jesus? Have you shown your heart to Jesus? Have you come before Jesus? Here am I. Take me. I am yours. See, the passage is not meant to terrify the tender-hearted. It is meant to expose the deceived. Which takes us then, thirdly, to the communion displayed. If you have communion with God, relationship, friendship, fellowship, what will that look like? Now remember, as I've just said, walking in the light certainly does not mean sinless perfection, but it also does not mean this. Walking in the light does not mean that you go around exposing your heart to all and sundry. It doesn't mean that you become totally transparent to everyone. It doesn't mean that you go and bare your soul to everyone. Even God is not even that transparent. God reveals himself and what is good for us. But walking in the light doesn't mean confessing to everyone, but it does mean, listen, it means refusing secrecy before God, and it means living honestly with people. So let me give you a definition of walking in the light. Here it is. Walking in the light means ordering your life according to God's word. That's what it means. That's the direction. You'll know the psalm, Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Here's what walking in the light means. It means letting God define what pleases him and what offends him. Walking in the light means refusing to define sin for yourself. It means lining up your life with Scripture. Maybe you've come across the story of the archer, legendary, of course. The archer who was always, that was so famous, he was always known for hitting the bullseye every time with his arrow. Someone supposedly comes up to him and says, Archer, how do you do it? How do you hit the bullseye every time? He said, oh, it's easy. I shoot the arrow first, and then I draw the bullseye around wherever it lands. Isn't that exactly what culture does today? Especially in terms of morality. You shoot first, and then what? Just draw the target around the desires, whatever you want, whatever feels good. Walking in the light means letting God draw the target. And so what I hope you're starting to see, that obedience is not the root of salvation, it's the fruit of salvation. James says, faith without works is dead. You'll see this in just a moment. John says, walking in the light is the evidence that you know him. Walking in the light is the evidence. So, let me put it together under this heading. Hopefully now we're in this position where we can start to understand what verse 7 and verse 9 mean that I showed you at the beginning of this message. Have a look at them again, side by side. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Walking in the light and confession of sins, listen, are both the evidences that you are in fellowship, relationship, friendship with God. They are evidences that you are saved. So listen, when you become a Christian, there are two things that start to become clearer and clearer as you walk with the Lord. Number one, you want to walk as Jesus walked. And you do. But as you walk, you also see how far you fall short. So what do? You confess your sins. So look at verse 7 again carefully. It's the blood of Jesus that saves us. It's the blood of Jesus that purifies us. It's his sacrificial, substitutionary, wrath-satisfying sacrifice at the cross that purifies us from all righteousness, all sin. But the evidence that we have been cleansed, forgiven, the evidence is that we keep walking with Jesus and we keep confessing our sins because we fall short. Does that make sense? Let me put it to you one other way. I think this is helpful. What does light do? What does light do? You say, well, lights, right? But what else does it do? Light exposes darkness, right? So listen carefully. When you walk in the light with Jesus, you walk in the light. But the light also shows the darkness in you. And when you see it, what do? You don't confess to be saved. You confess because you are saved, because you are walking in the light. And when you fall, you confess. So here's what John is saying. You can know that the blood of Jesus has cleansed you. Let me say it again. You can know that the blood of Jesus has cleansed you because you are walking in the light and you continue to confess your sins. Just flip this over. If you're walking in darkness, guess what you're not doing? You're not confessing. Well, one, you're not walking in the light and you're not even confessing. So there can be absolutely no assurance of salvation if you are walking in darkness because there's no evidence. So, here's my fifth point. Let me give you some application. Here's the first one. Church, we have to renounce the lie that you can have assurance of salvation and you're walking in darkness. You have to renounce that lie. There's an utter lie. John simply will not let us hold that lie in our hands. Walking in darkness means no assurance. So I want you to take a very reflective moment now. And I want to ask you this. Are you walking in darkness this morning? Are you walking in darkness? Have you sold yourself the lie that although you're walking in an habitual pattern of disobedience and darkness, you're okay with God? Have you sold yourself that lie? Perhaps you need to hear this scripture this morning from Paul in Galatians when he says the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, pornography, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, and drunkenness, and orgies, and the like. You see it? I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Renounce the lie. But I want you to hear this just as clearly, Christians. Please renounce the lie that struggling with sin means somehow that you're disqualified from your relationship or broken your relationship, or you've lost your relationship. That's a lie. Struggling against sin, resisting sin, confessing sin, they are not signs you're outside the family of God. They're signs you're inside the family of God. The battle is the evidence of life, not death. Please renounce the lie. But I want to speak to you from the heart this morning and to your heart. You've been listening here this morning, and you've heard John talking about walking in the light. There might be something in you that in your stomach, your stomach starts to sink. You start to feel an anxiety within you. Why? Because you know the sins that you've hidden. You know the patterns that you've excused. You know all the moments where you've run from God instead of running to Him. And maybe you could be thinking this morning, if God is light, then surely He doesn't want someone like me. God is light is not meant to expose you to shame. It's meant to lead you home. The God who is light is also the God who is love. The God who reveals is the God who restores. The God who convicts you is also the God who cleanses you completely through Christ. Maybe some of you here this morning, you're just sitting here and you're just carrying years and years of guilt. Stuff done, buried so deeply that you wish it would have disappeared, but it hasn't. Some of you just quietly just carrying those secret sins and secret habits and compromises. Yeah, just last night, someone I was interacting with, not in this church, over Messenger, saying to me, it spent over $1,000 this last month on AI porn. He couldn't hold it back anymore. Some of you here this morning might just feel like that prodigal son. Oh, you're out there in the out there with the swine, out there with the pigs, and you're so far away. And you wonder, would God welcome me if I step into the light? Listen, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Hear that? The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, not some sin. Not just the respectable sins, not just the sins that you may be comfortable to confess or admit, all sin. There is no darkness so dark that the light of Christ cannot reach. There's no sin so stubborn a stain that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse, and there is no failure so final that the grace of Christ cannot redeem. Walking in the light is about, it's about direction. It's not about perfection, it's about direction. But it is about honesty. And it is about coming home. So this morning, to you I say this. If you're hiding, step into the light. Not to be condemned, but to be cleansed. If you're weary, step into the light, not to be shamed, but to be restored. And if you're afraid, step into the light, not to be exposed, but to be embraced. Which means this, BBC. We have to be a community of people where people can walk into the light without fear. That when people walk into the light, that confession is met with compassion, where the weakness is met with prayer, and where sin is met with grace, where we carry strugglers, we don't crush them. And so this morning, I want us to close by, we invite the gathering team or the music teams to join me up front to take us into our final song. And then I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to give you an invitation to step into the light. This next song, well, our closing song is Knowing Jesus. It's all about knowing Him.